You're back with the SAFM Market Update. I'm Warren Thompson, and it's just gone past 6:45. Just coming up in the last segment of the show, we discuss with Lance Somes, a Managing Director of iTransact, how you know you're investing with the right robo-advisor. And many people will be confronting this term in the future and moving forward. What exactly is a robo-advisor? How does it help? And what, if any, substitution effect does it have with a human financial advisor? A little bit earlier today, I caught up with Lance Somes, the Managing Director of iTransact, and he gave us his explanation as to how you know that you're using the correct robo-advisor for your requirements.
Okay, very simple. A robo-advisor is an electronic financial advisor that uses one or more computer algorithms to answer certain questions that an investor will have about the investment targets and investment goals. And it literally goes and computes various factors in the market for you, or through factors from various funds, and gives you an output that is as closely matched to what your question set is as possible, so that you can make an investment decision. And it's all computerized and should do it within seconds.
So this would be specifically for people looking to make allocations towards retirement savings?
Yes, absolutely. Well, it can be retirement savings, or it could just be normal savings. People who are saving for a big idea or saving for a house or so forth. But really its function is to bypass the so-called middleman and not pay any financial advisor fees, but more that use fintech and technology to actually replicate that service.
And how comfortable, I mean, this is essentially an electronic means of allocating money that in many instances in the past has been done by financial advisors. Is that the basic premise of using a robo-advisor?
Yes, that is a basic premise. And also the other premise is it really caters for a certain subset of the population who enjoy working with technology, purely because they get an interactive result.
Okay, so you want to make sure, obviously, that people are using the right robo-advisor. Give us a few pointers as to how you know whether the robo-advisor that is providing you with allocations or investment decisions is the right one for the person and the individual involved.
Okay, well, first of all, you need to check if the company offering the robo-advisor is registered with the Financial Services Board. And that's very easy. Somewhere on the robo-advisor site, you should see that the robo-advisor is licensed, and you can phone that company and ask them what they call an FSP number. That's F for Foxtrot, S for Sierra, P for Papa, and that stands for Financial Services Provider. Each one got a number, and you can go onto the FSB website under a section called FAIS, that's FAIS, and you can go into the search function and search for that, to type in the number and search the license set for that financial service provider. And that will quickly tell you if the robo-advisor is licensed, then you would look for a license category called Collective Investment Scheme. Then the second step is that you would need to establish that, do you want an independent view of what's offered in the market, or do you want to choose a specific asset manager view? And what I mean by that is some robo-advisors only give the house view of a particular asset manager. In other words, you're going to be offered funds that are offered by that asset manager alone according to their particular cake recipe of what an investment should look like, as opposed to an independent robo-advisor that's not going to look at any one particular asset manager. It's going to look across a whole range of asset managers and really provide you what the best particular option would be.
Okay, so quite an important point there. So how many robo-advisors are there in the market? Are you aware of how wide the choice is?
Yes, there are quite a couple out there. I think in South Africa at the moment there are sort of 4 to 5 predominant robo-advisors, and you probably find about another 4 to 5 lesser-known robo-advisors. So I would say there are about 10 currently on the market, of which the bulk have really come into play over the last sort of 2 to 3 years, I would say.
Okay, and now just an important distinction. Do robo-advisors actually guarantee better investments?
Well, I don't think, first of all, any robo-advisor can't really guarantee anything. I think, any investment, especially investing in a unit trust, is not guaranteed at all. You're really at the mercy of what happens in the markets, number one. And you're also at the mercy of which fund or which portfolio you've invested in. So in other words, have you invested in a low, medium, or high-risk portfolio? But I think what robo advisors do well is, first of all, they get the asset allocation right. In other words, your mix of assets that you're going to get are scientifically calculated. And secondly, if the robo-advisor is doing its job, because it's using algorithms and not a bunch of people you have to pay high salaries to, the cost should be reduced significantly. So that's one of the key things, or one of the things that a robo-advisor should guarantee at least, is lower cost at the bare minimum. But it would never be able to guarantee returns on the market. But just remember that if you're getting lower costs, that means your return should be higher than dealing with any other kind of channel where you've got layered costs on it, like financial advisor fees or unit trust management fees. Because remember, every cost that you add to your outcome is actually a cost that you need to subtract from the return.
Okay, now, do investors still need the human element when investing or dealing with a robo-advisor?
Well, I think you do. Specifically, not so much when you're interacting with the robo-advisor from an electronic point of view and it's making suggestions based on its algorithmic nature. But I think where the human element becomes quite important is the after-sale service. There needs to be an OATX number of a kind, and you would have to be able to phone that and speak to somebody who can help you answer your questions. Because you may have a debit order issue, or you may have I can't access my latest fact sheet, or please help me register for my online account. You know, these are all sort of very human interactions that you would still need in a robo-advisor. It could be very upsetting if you could not speak to a human on the other side. So that's a second element one should always include when choosing a robo-advisor, that there needs to be an actual person to speak to if you've got any questions.
And of course, the most important aspect is whether or not you are saving enough to reach your financial goals. I presume the robo-advisors certainly reviewing your investments with the robo-advisor, that should be first and foremost in terms of the investor's mind.
Yes, absolutely. I mean, obviously, you know, you're dealing with a computer, and the computer is quite dumb from the aspect that it will only react to what you tell it to react to. So it's very much the investor's responsibility to monitor his investment from time to time. And if his situation changes, his or her situation changes, like some people may get married, have children, or they may get divorced, or they may buy a bigger house or get a bond, or, you know, those sort of things are events that you would have to come back to a robo-advisor and say, look, this has happened, my goals got bigger or my goals got smaller, and see what the robo-advisor then suggests that you do next. So I would suggest that investors, at least on an annual basis, review their current life situation with what they originally planned, because they could change over the years.
That was Lance Somes, the Managing Director of iTransact, talking to us about whether you know you're investing in the right robo-advisor. You're back with the SAFM Market Update, and while we have finished with our segments for the evening, I just thought we'd recap basically just on and follow up in particular with the story that has been developing over the weekend around IO technology, the company coming out with a SENS announcement just as the market closed, basically refuting the allegations made in an article published by Amar Bhangani called Surveys Listing Ship on the 21st of April, and then republished by several other media houses, including Business Day, without any opportunity for IO to respond. IO basically goes through a number of the allegations and refutes them, in particular that it responded to this idea that it did not need to be propped up with 4.3 billion rand, as it reads in the SENS announcement, and I quote, "It is a substantive and profitable business with significant contracts and market share. It is a credible company with a track record of nearly 20 years in the marketplace." We will be publishing, or that certainly that SENS is published already. I'll provide a link to it from my Twitter account. So that is just one of the stories that developed over the weekend that we did not get the chance to discuss with Wayne McCurry, but certainly We will be looking forward, as he points out, to the forthcoming results of Apple, Facebook, and a couple of the other technology companies in the US. Remember that if you are interested, that Old Mutual Limited shares will be made available to investors on the 26th of June, as Peter Moyo provided, and the bulk of that business will be what was previously Old Mutual's emerging markets business. And then very interesting to note the statement by Jeffrey Wapnick that while the climate has changed, he can't really put the finger on why they saw that deterioration in vacancies towards the end of last year, but things have certainly turned ship quite quickly. And it's interesting just to see what's happening on the ground there in those metropolitan areas of Johannesburg and Tshwane. And then what I thought was very worthwhile was the comments by Edi Teixeira McKinnon around many of the disputes arising between consumers and short-term insurers stemming from direct marketing activities by a number of the insurance companies, which obviously cuts out the middleman, but for some other reason, and predominantly because of consumers not reading and understanding the insurance contracts they enter into, those have been the source of many of the disputes that the Ombud has been asked to get involved with, and they are obviously settled around 9,800 of those during the course of the year, according to their annual report. And then very, very interesting, just talking to Lance Soames about the use of robo-advisors. I'm not sure I'm far enough up the technology curve to use a robo-advisor with allocating certainly investments that I make in my retirement savings and that kind of thing. But for those of you that do want to use that in the future, listening to those comments by Lance Soames and making sure that the robo-advisors are in fact regulated themselves will make a big difference. So I trust you've enjoyed the time with us. That brings us to the end of another show on the SAFM Market Update. And I'll be back for the rest of the week between 6 and 7. Cheers for now.